Welcome to a brand new episode of SEMS Speaketh, and I'm your host, Rohit. Today, we are going to touch upon the topic of social entrepreneurship. During the conversation, we're going to talk about the foundation that's made by the youth for the youth and the various challenges it's faced during the course of time. We'll also talk about the various aspects of social entrepreneurship and how young budding entrepreneurs can find ways to be successful in whatever they are venturing out to do. So stay tuned and we'll be right back after the beat. So today we have here a social entrepreneur, a co-founder of Youth India Foundation, which has spread across 7 states and has a reach of 70 societies, a third year college student, and my dear friend, Mr. Anis Nanolia. Hi Anis, welcome to the show.
Hi Rohit, glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me, man.
My pleasure, bro, my pleasure. See, now I know I haven't done much justification introducing you, so I'm going to give you a chance to introduce yourself, tell a little bit about yourself and what you do.
That was a good enough introduction, but yeah, I'm the co-founder of Youth India Foundation and partner in Youth India Social. Youth India Foundation is essentially a social entrepreneurship organization that works across India to provide platform for the youth of this nation to discover themselves, to work on events and work in a corporate structure. But the main goal is to create social upliftment and social change through initiatives that are all run by these two. So it's a completely youth-run organization. We have about 7,000 plus people working with us right now. And yes, it's absolutely amazing to see the kind of projects that we are working on and things that we are constantly grateful for where we are right now.
That is so fascinating, considering the fact that, you know, when you started out, it was just, you know, you being a student from a college like SEMS and going on to build a foundation with 7,000 plus members. That's really amazing. I really want to know, how did you come up with this? How did you come about, you know, actually organizing the whole thing, actually building up a community of all these 7,000 people? How did you do it?
The inception of it happened in 2019, but the idea started way before. Me, along with founder Shubhankar Nanda, co-founders Pushne and Sangram, we have been working with charities and NGOs since a very young age. And what we discovered was that there was no permanent solutions to the issues that were being created through those NGOs. They were working towards providing food, a home to people for a very temporary period. And while that is God's work, it does not enable those marginalized communities to stand for themselves in the long run. So we created this organization with the idea that we will work towards social entrepreneurship and ensure whatever solutions we are giving, they are permanent in nature. So basically, it breaks down to give a man some food and they will sleep with a full stomach, give them a job and they will fend for themselves for their entire life. So everything that we do here, we work towards employment, education and healthcare in the country to uplift the entire nation together using the talent that we have vastly available in this country in excess, that is youth.
Because this is something that has been confirmed in the last 2 years, that we really underestimate our youth. We do not want to take their opinions. They're not adults yet, but they're not children. And we always have this thing about experience, especially in India. So the goal was to, yes, we need experience. The youth needs experience. So why not earn it by doing it?
Right. So talking about the foundation itself, I mean, you mentioned how it's important to bring people together and, you know, solve many problems as you can, while also giving them opportunities, you know, giving the youth, especially the opportunities they might not, you know, get in the real world. But then again, I want to include the factor of the pandemic that we're going through right now. How has a pandemic affected the whole process, or has it affected, or how have you tackled the whole pandemic situation?
The pandemic has definitely affected, and I would not be someone who says that all of them were negative. Some of the things, obviously, they have been really devastating. For example, when we started out and the model that we had created in around February of 2019, all of it relied on a very offline mode. We were going to be registered with colleges. We wanted to have meetings. We wanted city management and those kind of things and get-togethers, etc. But all of that changed by the time we launched in the pandemic.
Right.
And so it started on a group of 34 people on a WhatsApp, and we had to navigate that. We had to learn how to communicate to people. See, when people who have never met each other, when you meet someone, you have a high level of trust for them. You connect with them on a level that we took for granted earlier. But now the major goal is to make these people who live in different parts of the nation share very little with each other and have never met each other to communicate with each other as if they are sitting side by side. We had to create an entire system around that. And since there was no precursor also true.
Right.
This is the first time in history that this is happening, and this is the first time in history that we are so exposed to online ecosystems that this even happened.
Exactly.
But at the same time, there were good parts as well. The fact that in the first 6 months, a lot of people wanted to venture. They had more time on their hands. They realized that they need only 4 to 5 hours a day to get productivity in what they were doing. So to fill the rest of the time, they wanted to do more. They realized that the things that matter are not as material and we can live with much less. So that gave a very right mindset for the people working in the organization. We were able to mobilize that. We were able to get them on board. And it gave the much needed outlet to a lot of. I've seen families formed here. I still see people who met in the organization in those days and even today meet up each other whenever they go to their cities and have those late night meets, etc. And I think every one of us needed that.
So you have not only managed to give them a sense of fulfillment, you've also created a community with like-minded people who can actually interact with each other and, you know, broaden their horizons and, you know, learn from each other. And again, as a person, develop their own skills and become a successful version of themselves each and every day. But then again, coming back to the pandemic situation, I'm just very curious if the whole situation is going to change. So once we are transformed completely to an offline method, how is that change going to impact Youth India Foundation and its members?
There is obviously going to be change. Something that we have to realize is that something of this mass scale hits the world, like it happened with the 2008 crisis. The behavior of people in general and society in general changes. And that has happened already with pandemic. We can see it. Most of the companies and organizations now are giving offline modes, or they are going for hybrid modes where they have to run up to the office for 2-3 days a week and the rest of it can be home. That is going to have an impact on using the foundation as well. We obviously are very excited for the day we'll be able to go offline. Be able to have the big stage events. Who does not want that? And our own offices. But at the same time, I think some of the things will remain the same. The hyper connectivity of it. The fact that even when I'm traveling, I can just get on a Google Meet or Zoom and have the meeting. So that is going to increase the level of productivity of the entire organization to a lot. People will have an option. They don't just have to go to the office, or they just don't have to be on. They can do what they want, or they can go for a hybrid model. So I think that is how I am imagining Youth India moving forward, that once we are able to hit the ground, we do it in a manner that it takes the best of both worlds and gives that experience to everyone.
Right. And I think that's more important in the coming era, because having a hybrid system, as you said, you know, taking the best out of the two worlds is going to be so essential for everything, each and every activity, even for, whether for education or a normal corporate world. It's going to be that and more essential for implementing that, the whole hybrid structure.
That's very true. The way I see it, the entire world was waving for a way to, we had come to a bottleneck where we knew that yes, humankind can get more, but we did not know how to get that out of those 24 hours and those preset systems. And now suddenly we have a method of getting so much more, and I don't think humankind will be satisfied. So we are gonna reach for it.
Absolutely. So I think this is a great segue to take a break, and we'll be right back, so stay tuned.
Also can enhance your skills in various sectors. This event series is surely an exciting opportunity for the youngsters, because it will not just help them grow, but will also help to solve many societal problems existing in the society. If you want to be a part of this community, then all you have to do is go to their website at www.youthindafoundation.com and click on Join Us to choose the role of your choice. These events are organized and managed entirely by a team of young college students, who carry out the entire process from planning to execution under the guidance of Arnis and his experienced core team. To stay in loop with every crazy thing they're doing, go follow them on their Insta handle at Youth India Foundation, and check out their amazing curated events on their website. There is always something cooking when it comes to Youth India.
So welcome back. So we are in conversation with Mrs. Anis Nanolia, the founder of Youth India Foundation. Now, we have talked about Youth India Foundation and what it does and how it's important to have something like Youth India Foundation in the society that we live in right now. Now let's talk about how, as a college student, someone can actually go about and achieve something that considered to be a great feat, you know, something that's really inspiring to do. So can you just give us a bit, you know, about yourself, how you tackled all of the obstacles that came your way initially when you, you know, were going to start Youth India Foundation?
Over the last 2 years, I have developed a very keen system of priorities, plus extracting the most out of whatever I'm doing. So now I have very tight schedules. I have specified times in which I have to attend my colleges and I have to manage the project work, etc. I have set up times when I will be doing the meetings every day, times for interviews, etc. Whatever the organization requires from me. And along with that, I have learned how to divide the tasks. So something that people, and I always see this being one of the biggest issue with managers, is that people do not give as much attention to task division as they should.
Right.
The work of a manager is never to make a document or file things. The role of a manager is always to get the maximum work done out of the people, ensuring that the work environment is right to make that happen, and to ensure that everyone is getting the task that they will be able to complete. So that is something that I have worked on. Now I know how much time should I be giving to a person, how much time I should be giving them for the same. So yes, those are the things. Along with that, choosing who you work with very carefully is a very important thing.
Right.
You could not work with people who do not give the same amount of effort as you are in maintaining the balance between the two, or are generally not for the goal. Apart from that, it's mostly about pushing through any obstacles you have, because you believe that when you actually genuinely want to work on something and believe in a value, you will make it
happen. Right. As you said, entrepreneurship comes with a lot of challenges, a lot of criticisms, but fighting through all of it is another major, again, a motivation factor for all these entrepreneurs should be. So coming to social entrepreneurship, I really want to talk about this because I feel like we need more and more social entrepreneurs in the country. We need more people who actually believe that, you know what, money is not everything. There is something that's more than money. The concept of more than money should be something that people should go after.
Right. I believe that India as a country is just starting to learn about the differences between money and wealth. We are a country that has grown to hate money and wealth, and are much more society and status driven. So that stigma is something that stops a lot of people from venturing in, because everyone wants to earn. That's a basic tenet of life. Everyone wants to have a better lifestyle than what they have right now. But at the same time, money is not the end goal.
Right.
The end goal is to be happy. The end goal is to have wealth. Money is a product. Money is the accelerant that gives you growth for any company. And we have in India only, we have very good examples of this. We have Tata. Tata has more than 100 companies. It works in 100 countries. And the entire goal is that they want to create, contribute continuously to the socio-economic overall well-being of the country. They have created wealth. Another that I personally think that people should be talking more about is Lijit. I'm not sure whether you have heard about it or not, but Lijit Papad, it's a woman cooperative that makes a papad. It's a rice, plus a banana Indian snack. And it's a very big entity. It has worked for 35 years, and it basically works toward women upliftment. So it is a cooperative system where a lot of women come together and they make those profits, and all the profit is shared among all the members of that particular branch. All the losses is borne by everyone, and they have now earned in crores and thousands of crores. But to this day, the goal is not to earn. The goal is to create a better environment for the women that are part of that ecosystem. And not once have they went against those values, and that is the reason why they main icon. And no woman who is part of a legit community will ever back out or will ever stay unappealed. So that is well, I think.
Yeah, that is so fascinating to hear, because, you know, with all the opportunities we have right now, like a whole open textbook kind of a thing with the internet, you know, you can find whatever you want, whatever you need with just a click of a button. Like if you want to learn about, let's say, a Python language, which you have no idea about, well, the next minute you're already on it with the help of the internet. So with all the opportunities that present to people, it's fascinating how people do something that makes a difference, to do something that gives value, again, as you said, back to society, and in the process, gaining popularity, making money, all that. But the most important thing here becomes the value and the product, that what we are giving back to the society, which has given us a lot.
Yes, so that is true about value. It's a very simple concept. It is the same way accounts work. You make more than you spend, and you are in profit. If you give more value out than you take in, then you grow.
So say I am a college student and I really want to venture out into social entrepreneurship, right? And let's say I don't have much of a support from my family. But then again, I'm really passionate about something to do with social entrepreneurship. Really want to start about it. So how would you explain to me, the person who wants to venture out into social entrepreneurship, as in how can I get into it? So what would be your suggestion?
Right. According to me, the way it should work is that, first of all, you will have to do an analysis. You will have to see that what is it that you do the best.
Right.
Are you someone who is making designs that are better than anyone else? Are you someone who is good at coming up with stories? Are you funny? Are you good at conversations? Are you good at making friends? Are you good at being empathetic? You have to do a complete analysis of yourself beyond the spectrum of just academy. Once you do that, you have to see that which of the things that you are actually good at are things that the world is willing to pay you. For example, if you're empathetic, the world will rush to you the day you start working as an HR because you need to be empathetic towards people in that profession. If you're someone who is good at forming connections and networking and talking to people, then going into a sales field, etc., that is very ideal. So you have to first see what you are good at doing, and secondly, realize that is the world willing to pay you for. If they are, then the next goal is finding the problem in that particular field, something that is a problem that exists in that particular market or that field, which you have a method of solving. At a large scale, the method that you have, it should solve that problem completely or to a satisfiable level, and it should be mass producible or mass distributable. That is when you have a good entrepreneurial idea and you have a winning startup idea in your head. The next is understanding what are the requirements of it. Do you need capital? There are a lot of businesses that require a lot of capital. Most probably, since you do not have a support, you should not go for this. But then there are things that you can do that do not require that much capital. For example, if you want to, let's say, start as a bank, if you have an idea of changing how the fintech industry or FinCorp industry is working, and you have something that in the money lending sector, you obviously do not have the capital to venture into that market immediately, but you can start small. You can take another problem that is there, start solving that through that bootstrap, create more wealth for yourself, and use that money to accelerate till the point that you have sufficient to do the bigger thing. So it needs to be step by step. You need to grow and you need to create wealth to accelerate your profit. And apart from that, create a community. That is, I think, one of the most important things. Create a group of people who are forward moving, who want to work, who want to do good, and that will act as your counsel. Create a team of people who believe in what you believe in, and surround yourself with friends who do not back out from supporting you ever, or are not pessimistic in general. It's a very cliche dialogue to say that you are made out of people that you hang around with.
Yeah, correct. Right. So with that, we have come to an end of this podcast. Anis, right now, I'm giving an opportunity to shamelessly plug all your Instagram IDs for Youth India Foundation. And you can take this opportunity to tell us what you're planning for the future, the initiatives that you're going to introduce. Let the audience know why they need to know more about Youth India Foundation.
Things that we are doing right now, they are very exciting to me. I urge everyone to check out the initiatives of Youth India Foundation. First of all, go to our website or youthindiafoundation.com or our Instagram ID, Youth India Foundation, for more knowledge about what we do and overall structure. But apart from that, interact with the entire Youth India Foundation ecosystem, because we are doing projects that can help. We are working on an initiative that is Your Friend. It's a mental health platform that provides people with representatives and people that they can talk to in a tough time, and have a very good network of therapists as well. And there is the placement cell, so if you are looking for placements, interact with that as well. We have our media network, which we'll be launching later in this year. And we have much more projects like our e-commerce website coming up, our art platform coming up, and an artist management platform that goes by the name of Shades, which is going to work. Above all, we are going to launch a series of events over the course of next month, where all of our societies, all 70 of them, along with the state teams and initiatives, will be creating a series of very well thought out events that will help out people, will give them a platform to find exactly what they need in various fields of education, employment, health, everything, along with being a very good show from what we can celebrate. Right. So stay tuned.
Awesome.
And if anyone of you want to reach out to us.
Awesome. That's great. I really can't wait to see what happens with you, man. Good luck to your future. Good luck to Youth India Foundation. And to the audience, please go and check out Youth India Foundation and what they're doing. I think it's absolutely brilliant what they're doing. So please do check them out, and please stay tuned for the next episode of SEMS Speaketh. And that's your host, Rohit. Stay tuned. Goodbye.